各位听众，接下来请听这一小时的简要新闻。今天是12月20日，中国政府证实第三名加拿大公民莎拉·麦克福在中国被拘留。在此之前，中国当局以涉嫌危害国家安全为名，拘捕了加拿大前外交官康明凯和商人斯帕沃尔。对这两个人的拘捕被广泛视为中国对加拿大应美国的要求拘捕华为高级主管孟晚舟做出的报复。中国外交部发言人华春莹星期四12月20日说，麦克福因非法就业被中国地方公安机关行政拘留，还称此案与另外两名加拿大人因涉嫌危害中国国家安全被拘留不同。加拿大总理特鲁多星期三也表示，最新一起的拘留案似乎不符合前两个案例的模式。他还说，有数以万计的加拿大人在中国生活、旅行和工作。加拿大媒体报道，莎拉·麦克福在中国的一所学校教英文，因签证问题被中国当局拘留。报道援引加拿大一位国会议员的话说，数百上千的加拿大人正在中国工作，难道这些人都要因此而担心吗？加拿大的缅甸问题特使、前自由党领袖鲍勃雷星期三在推文中称，这不是巧合，这些拘留看起来太像劫持人质了。美国朝鲜问题特别代表史蒂芬·比根星期四12月20日访问了朝鲜半岛非军事区板门店停战村，为推动停滞不前的美朝去核化谈判继续努力。比根没有在板门店与朝鲜官员会面的公开计划，美国驻首尔大使馆也没有提供他此行的细节。但是板门店通常是美国领导的联合国驻朝鲜半岛非军事区人员与朝鲜方面会面的地点。比根星期三抵达首尔，当地官员说，比根将出席美韩两国上个月启动的工作小组，以强化两国在朝鲜政策上的协调。特朗普总统的美国行政当局又对一批干预美国选举和从事美国财政部所说的恶劣行径的俄罗斯官员和实体实施制裁。美国所指的俄罗斯活动包括试图毒死一名前俄罗斯间谍和他的女儿。美国财政部长穆努钦星期三说，美国将继续与世界盟国与伙伴采取联合行动，遏制和防止俄罗斯、其代理人及情报机构一贯的恶劣行径。美军印太司令部说，美国海军作战部长理查森上将和中国海军司令沈金龙中将星期二进行了视频通话。印太司令部发布的消息说，美中两位军方将领就两国海军之间的交流和双边军事关系的问题交换了看法，并提到高层交流的重要意义。理查森上将说，美国海军致力于维护一个自由开放的印太地区，并专门谈到为防止发生不想要和不必要的局势冲击而必须降低风险和在行动中实施安全的举措。中国一位知名人权人士在六次被当局监禁、饱经11年牢狱之灾之后抵达美国与家人团聚。他表示将不会忘记中国的人权事业。54岁的赵长青星期一12月17日经曼谷抵达旧金山，与2年前同样经过曼谷抵达美国的妻子刘晓东和两个孩子团聚。白宫为开始从饱经战争创伤的叙利亚撤回美国军队的宣布做出辩护，不过没有提具体，没有解释在叙利亚为什么要撤。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。 Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课重点讲解怎样预订旅馆房间。首先是电话采访，由节目主持人 Elizabeth 在电话中和正在纽约出差的 Charles Blake 先生进行访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is traveling on business. Hello again, Mr. Blake. How's the weather there in New York?
Hello. Well, it's a little chilly today.
It's nice to talk to you again.
I'm happy to be on the show.
When we met in the studio, you told us that you work in industrial manufacturing.
That's right. I work for International Robotics, a Chinese company. We manufacture industrial robots.
And what is your main responsibility at International Robotics?
I'm in charge of exporting our robots to the United States.
In our last interview, you said that you went to San Francisco last year. You went there to talk with Mike Epstein about selling your company's robots to Advanced Technologies.
That's right.
Today we'll be talking about your hotel arrangements during your trip to San Francisco.
Okay, that's fine.
Where did you stay while you were there?
I stayed at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Sunnyvale.
That's south of San Francisco, right?
Yes, it's about 40 miles south of San Francisco.
Is that an expensive hotel?
It's reasonably priced. I got a single room for $120 a night.
Was it difficult getting a reservation?
No, not too difficult. I made the reservation before I left Beijing.
And how did you like the hotel? Was the service good?
Oh, yes, very good.The staff was very polite and helpful.
Do you do a lot of traveling in your work?
Yes, I do. I travel on business about once every month.
Do you always make a hotel reservation before you travel?
Usually I do. If I don't make the reservation myself, I use a travel agency to book a room.
What kind of service do you usually get at hotels?
Usually the service is good, but I've been to some hotels where the service was very poor.
And just one more question.How much does a single room typically cost?
In most cities, I usually pay over $100 a night for a single.
Thank you. And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Blake.
You're welcome.
文化点滴。
We have some really interesting email questions today.
Great. What are they?
The first question is, when I go to an American hotel, what time can I get into my room?
Well, the entering time is called the check-in time. It's usually around noon or 1 o'clock.
Noon or 1, I see. And the second question is, what time do I have to leave my room the next day?
Well, the time when you must leave is called the check-out time. It's often around 11 o'clock in the morning or noon.But each hotel has its own policy, so you really need to confirm both times when you make a reservation.
That's a good idea. Could there be a problem if you arrive too early?
Well, yes. If you arrive before the check-in time, they probably won't let you into your room. You'll have to wait in the lobby.
Really?
Yes, and something worse could happen if you stay in your room after check-out time.
What?
They might charge you for an extra day.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, thanks for your helpful information.
I'm always glad to help.
商务对话。
Hilton Hotel, how may I direct your call?
Reservations, please.
Just a moment, please.
Reservations, how may I help you?
Good morning.I'd like to make a reservation for August 20th through the 22nd, please.
For how many people?
Just for myself. I'm traveling on business.
Just a moment, please. Yes, I have several rooms available on those nights.
Could I have a non-smoking room, please?
A non-smoking room? Certainly. That room is $125 a night.
That will be fine. Can I put that on my credit card?
Yes, of course.
Gary 提示
Today I'll be talking about how to make requests. Whenever you call to make a hotel reservation, you'll be asking for many things. For example, you might ask for a single room or a double room. You may want a smoking room or a non-smoking room, a room on the ground floor or a room with a view. Sometimes you might want to request a discount. Whenever you are requesting something, you'll want to do it in a polite way. Let's listen to the requests in today's business dialogue. First, Ms. Powers asks to reserve a room. Listen for her request beginning with, I'd like.
Reservations. How may I help you?
Good morning. I'd like to make a reservation for August 20th through the 22nd, please.
Notice that Ms. Powers says, I'd like to make a reservation. Saying, I'd like, or I would like, is a polite way to make a request. Ms. Powers also asks for a non-smoking room. Notice how Ms. Powers starts her request with could. Let's listen.
Just a moment, please. Yes, I have several rooms available on those nights.
Could I have a non-smoking room, please?
Now let's listen to Ms. Powers asking to pay by credit card. Notice that she begins her request with can I?
That will be fine. Can I put that on my credit card?
Yes, of course.
Beginning requests with I would like, can, or could are all polite ways to make requests. Now let's hear a request that isn't so polite.
Reservations, may I help you?
Yes. Give me a room for March 21st through March 22nd, please.
I beg your pardon?
This time, the woman sounded a little impolite. She said, Give me a room, please. Even though she said please, she sounded impolite because she was too direct. It's more polite to say, I would like a room, please. I hope today's tips were helpful.
首先，我们来听 Elizabeth 通过电话采访国际机器人公司的 Blake 先生。
On today's program, I'll be talking by phone with Charles Blake. I've been talking with Mr. Blake about his business trip to San Francisco last year. Hello again, Mr. Blake.
Hello. Please call me Charles. Let's not be so formal.
Okay, Charles. The last time we spoke, we talked about your trip last year to San Francisco.
That's right. I went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies.
And tell us again where you stayed in the San Francisco area.
I stayed at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Sunnyvale.
Well, today we're going to listen to a recording of your conversation with the receptionist at the Embassy Suites. We'll hear what happens as you check in at the hotel.
That sounds great.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the Embassy Suites Hotel.Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Blake, Charles Blake. I have a confirmed reservation.
Mr. Blake, yes. And the reservation number?
Let's see. Here it is. 14689.
14689? Let me check. Yes, sir, we have your reservation right here. That's for June 10th through the 13th, Monday through Thursday night. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.And the room, sir, is 685 on the 6th floor. I've got the key right here, and I'll get a bellman for you right away.
Okay. What was the price of the room again?
That room is $120 a night.
Okay, fine.
接下来请听节目主持人继续同 Blake 先生进行访谈。
I see that you already had a reservation at the Embassy Suites before you arrived.
Yes, I did.I made the reservation 2 weeks before I left Beijing.
Did you call back later to confirm your reservation?
Yes. I called a few days before I left Beijing.
And your room was $120 a night?
That's right. They had a suite for $200 a night, but that was more than I needed.
How was the receptionist? Was she helpful?
Yes, she was very helpful. I have no complaints.
Thank you for talking with us today.
You're very welcome.
We have an interesting question for you today, Gary.
What is it?
What do you do if you get to a hotel and there is a problem with your hotel reservation?
Well, first you have to understand exactly what the problem is. Ask the clerk at the front desk to explain the problem clearly.
Uh-huh.
If you have made a mistake, they may not be able to help you.
Could you give us an example of that?
Sure. If you made a reservation for December 10th and you arrive at the hotel on December 9th, there may not be a room available for you. The desk clerk may tell you the hotel is full. In that case, you may have to find another place to stay.
I see.
But if someone at the hotel made a mistake, then they have to fix the problem. For example, suppose you have a written confirmation of your reservation for December 9th, and they tell you that they lost the reservation. Then you can demand that they solve the problem.
What can you ask for?
You can ask them to find a room for you at another hotel.
Really?
Yes, and they should pay for one night and pay for a taxi to take you there. If they won't do that, you should demand to speak with the manager. If you are sure that they made the mistake, don't leave the front desk. Stay there until they help you.
In other words, you have to be persistent.
That's right.
May I help you?
Yes, please. I have a reservation for tonight.
And what's your name?
My name is Frank Fernandez.
Frank Fernandez. Yes, I have you booked for tonight through Friday night. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm staying 3 nights.
I see you requested a non-smoking room.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, here's your key.
Thank you.
Gary提示.
Today's language function is confirming information. What do we mean by confirming? To confirm something means to check that it's correct. When you check in at a hotel, the desk clerk or receptionist will confirm how many nights you are staying. Let's listen again to the conversation between Mr. Blake and the hotel receptionist at the Embassy Suites. Listen for the phrase, "That's for June 10th through June 13th.
Mr. Blake, yes. And the reservation number?
Let's see. Here it is. 14689.
14689? Let me check. Yes, sir, we have your reservation right here. That's for June 10th through the 13th, Monday through Thursday night.
In the example we just heard, the receptionist confirms that the dates of Mr. Blake's reservation are June 10th through June 13th. Now let's listen to some more examples of confirming information in today's business dialogue. First, the receptionist confirms the dates of Mr. Fernandez's reservation when she says, "I have you booked for tonight through Friday night." Let's listen.
May I help you?
Yes, please. I have a reservation for tonight.
And what's your name?
My name is Frank Fernandez.
Frank Fernandez. Yes, I have you booked for tonight through Friday night.
Then Mr. Fernandez confirms that he's staying for 3 nights.
Is that correct?
That's right. I'm staying 3 nights.
Next, the receptionist and Mr. Fernandez both confirm that the room is a non-smoking room. Let's listen again.
I see you requested a non-smoking room.
Yes, that's correct.
Remember, it's a good idea when you check in at a hotel to confirm that you're getting the type of room you expected. You wouldn't want any surprises, would you? Well, that's all for Gary's tips.
On today's program, I'll be talking by phone with Charles Blake of International Robotics. Today, we're going to talk about making and confirming reservations. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello again, Charles. Good to have you back on Functioning in Business.
It's my pleasure.
The last time we spoke, we talked about your business trip last year to San Francisco.
That's right. I went to San Francisco to meet with Michael Epstein of Advanced Technologies. I wanted to talk to him about selling our industrial robots to his company.
Now tell me, did you get a good flight from Beijing to San Francisco?
Yes, I got a great flight. It was nonstop and only took about 12 hours.
And you made your reservation before you left Beijing?
That's right. I made it several weeks before I left. How did you know?
Well, I have a tape of your conversation with your travel agent.
Oh, that's right. You recorded my conversation.
Shall we listen to it?
Sure. Why not?
Worldwide Travel.
Hello. This is Mr. Blake of International Robotics.
Hello, Mr. Blake. How can I help you?
I'd like to reserve a flight from Beijing to San Francisco, please.
What date would you like to travel, Mr. Blake?
I'd like to leave Beijing on June 10th.
We have a nonstop flight out of Beijing on United Airlines, leaving at 6:05 in the evening.
6:05 in the evening?
Yes, it arrives in San Francisco at 1:45 p.m. the same day. Is that all right?
1:45. Yes, that's fine.
And when will you be returning?
On June 25th.
June 25th. There's a flight leaving San Francisco at 2:45 p.m. on June 25th.
2:45 p.m.? That sounds fine.
Would you like a window or an aisle seat?
An aisle seat, please.
All right, Mr. Blake. I have you confirmed on flight 581, leaving Beijing at 6:05 p.m. on June 10th. Arriving in San Francisco at 1:45 p.m. the same day.
Okay.
You'll be returning on June 25th on flight 582, leaving San Francisco at 2:45 p.m. and arriving in Beijing at 6:45 p.m. on June 26th.
Fine.
Your confirmation number is A as in apple, C as in cat, 6734.
AC6734.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
接下来请听节目主持人继续同 Blake 先生进行访谈。
Did you fly coach or business class on your flight from Beijing?
I flew business class.
Do you always fly business class?
If I'm traveling in the United States, I fly coach to save a little money. But on international flights, I fly business class because it's much more comfortable.
And what was the airfare from Beijing to San Francisco?
The round-trip fare was $965.
That sounds pretty good.
Yes, my travel agent got me a good deal.
I noticed that you got a confirmation number when you made your reservation.
Uh-huh.
Do you always remember the confirmation number when you get one?
I usually write it down on a piece of paper, but sometimes I lose the piece of paper.
That's too bad. Thank you for being on our program today, Charles.
You're quite welcome.
文化点滴。
Last time, we talked about what to do if you had a problem with a hotel reservation. Today, we have an email that is a follow-up question to that topic.
Oh, good. What's the question?
The listener asks, how can I avoid problems with hotel reservations?
That's a very good question. After you make a hotel reservation, there are several simple things you can do to prevent a problem. The first thing to do is to ask for a written confirmation by fax or mail. This document will have a confirmation number, your arrival and departure dates, the price of the room, and other information. For example, the confirmation should say whether the room is a smoking or non-smoking room.
That should be very useful.
The confirmation is useful because you can check it for errors. The confirmation is a record of what the hotel thinks you asked for. You should check it carefully for accuracy and correct anything that is wrong. If the arrival date is wrong, for example, you need to call the hotel immediately to correct it.
I see.
One thing to check carefully is your name. If you are from another country, they may spell your name incorrectly. Also, make sure that you bring the written confirmation with you when you check in. That way, if there is a problem, you can show it to the people at the front desk to prove that you are right.
That's great advice.
At check-in, the confirmation number can be very important. That's the easiest way to find your reservation in the computer.
Thanks, Gary. Your advice will save our listeners a lot of trouble in the future.
My pleasure.
International Airlines, how may I help you?
Hello, my name is Denise Brown. I'd like to confirm my reservation on flight 23 from Atlanta.
What's the date of travel?
August 20th.
Just a moment, please. Yes, I have you confirmed on flight 23, leaving Atlanta at 10:55 a.m. on Tuesday, August 20th, arriving in Chicago at 12:15 p.m. Your confirmation number is V as in Victor, T as in Thomas, 9031.
VT9031.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for flying with us.
另一段是确认预订的旅馆房间.
Reservations, may I help you?
Hello, I'm calling to confirm my reservation for January 5th.
Your name, please.
John Aliotto.
Thank you. Just one moment, please. Yes, you're confirmed for 3 nights beginning January 5th. And that's for a single room.
That's right.
Check-in time is 1 p.m.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Aliotto.
Gary 提示.
Last time you talked about confirming information.
That's right. I said that to confirm information is to check that it's correct or certain. Confirming a reservation is similar. When you confirm a reservation, you are checking that the dates of the reservation and other details about the reservation are correct. When you call to confirm a reservation, you can start your sentence with, I'm calling to confirm, or I'd like to confirm. Which of these phrases do you hear in the first business dialogue? Let's listen again to the dialogue.
International Airlines, how may I help you?
Hello, my name is Denise Brown. I'd like to confirm my reservation on flight 23 from Atlanta.
That's right. Ms. Brown said, I'd like to confirm. Now listen to the second business dialogue and tell me what phrase you hear.
Reservations, may I help you?
Hello, I'm calling to confirm my reservation for January 5th.
Mr. Aliotto said, I'm calling to confirm. Usually, you get a confirmation number when you make the reservation for a hotel or a flight. Let's listen to the first business dialogue again. The travel agent gives Ms. Brown a confirmation number for her airline reservation.
I have you confirmed on flight 23, leaving Atlanta at 10:55 a.m. on Tuesday, August 20th, arriving in Chicago at 12:15 p.m. Your confirmation number is V as in Victor, T as in Thomas, 9031.
VT9031.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Did you notice that Ms. Brown repeated back her confirmation number? She was confirming her confirmation number. Always repeat the confirmation number so that you can be sure you heard it correctly. When you make a reservation, if you are not given a confirmation number, you should ask for one. So remember, if you're not sure, it's always safer to call to confirm your reservations before you travel. Better to be safe than sorry.
Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，接下来请听这一小时的简要新闻。 中国政府证实第三名加拿大公民莎拉·麦克福在中国被拘留。在此之前，中国当局以涉嫌危害国家安全为名拘捕了加拿大前外交官康明凯和商人斯帕沃尔。对这两个人的拘捕被广泛视为中国对加拿大应美国的要求拘捕中国电信设备制造巨头华为公司高级主管孟晚舟做出的报复。中国外交部发言人华春莹星期四12月20日说，麦克福因非法就业被中国地方公安机关行政拘留，还称此案与另外两名加拿大人因涉嫌危害中国国家安全被拘留不同。加拿大的缅甸特使、前自由党领导人鲍勃雷星期三在推文中称，这不是巧合，这些拘留看起来太像劫持人质了。美国朝鲜问题特别代表史蒂芬·比根星期四12月20日访问了朝鲜半岛非军事区板门店停战村，为推动停滞不前的美朝去核化谈判继续努力。比根没有在板门店与朝鲜官员会面的公开计划，美国驻首尔大使馆也没有提供他此行的细节，但是板门店通常是美国领导的联合国驻朝鲜半岛非军事区人员与朝鲜方面会面的地点。比根星期三抵达首尔，与 当地官员说，比根将出席美韩两个月前启动的工作小组，以强化两国在朝鲜政策问题上的协调。他还会与韩国统一部部长会面。特朗普总统的美国行政当局又对一批干预美国选举和从事美国财政部所称的恶劣行径的俄罗斯官员和实体实施制裁。美国所指的俄罗斯活动包括试图毒死一名前俄罗斯间谍和他的女儿。美国财政部长姆努钦星期三说，美国将继续与世界盟国和伙伴采取联合行动，遏制和防止俄罗斯及其代理人及情报机构一贯的恶劣行径。这次被美国制裁的俄罗斯官员包括15名情报特工和包括互联网研究所在内的4个政府机构。美国印太司令部说，美国海军作战部长理查森上将和中国海军司令员沈金龙中将星期二进行了视频通话。印太司令部发表了消息说，美中两方军队将领就两国海军之间的交流和双边关系问题交换了看法，并提到高层交流的重要意义。理查森上将说，美国海军致力于维护一个自由开放的印太地区，并专门谈到了为防止发生不想要和不必要的局势升级而必须降低风险和在行动中实施安全的举措。理查森和沈金龙都表示，两国之间保持建设性的两军关系能够促进美中关系的稳定。中国一位知名人权人士在6次被当局监禁、饱经11年牢狱之灾之后抵达美国与家人团聚。他表示将不会忘记中国的人权事业。50岁的赵长青星期一12月17日经曼谷抵达旧金山，与两年前同样由曼谷到美国的妻子刘晓东和两个孩子团聚。在稍作休整后，赵长青第二天通过设在美国的中国人权组织公民力量发表声明，对公民力量与美国政府促成他与家人团聚表达感谢。白宫为开始从饱受战争创伤的叙利亚撤回美国军队的宣布和决定做出辩护，不过没有具体解释在叙利亚打击伊斯兰国组织的行动中如何取得了胜利。特朗普总统星期三上午在推文上做出了裁军撤军宣布。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。 因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众、观众朋友们好，欢迎收听、收看《美国之音》VOA 卫视12月19号星期三的《时事大家谈》，我是许波，我们在《美国之音》华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。中共领导人习近平在纪念世界人权宣言的信中，再次强调了中共一向主张的人权观，把生存权、发展权作为首要的基本人权，把全体人民的幸福生活视为最大的人权。中共人权观强调整体性，把国家社会的整体人权置于个体人权之上。于是呢，为了保持全社会的稳定，维权律师维护当事人个人权利就犯了煽动颠覆罪；为了维护全民族的整体发展利益，维族人和藏人等个别族群的权益就必须牺牲。这种人权观其实呢，与世界人权宣言中阐述的人人有权享有生命、自由和人身安全，任何人不得加以任意逮捕、拘禁或放逐等原则呢，格格不入。那么为什么中共的人权观在国际上不受待见？为什么世界许多国家，包括联合国，纷纷指责中国的人权记录呢？今天我们的时事大家谈，我们就邀请专家与听众、观众及网友朋友们一道来回顾和探讨2018年的中国人权问题。在美国加州通过视频连线参加节目的是人权组织“人道中国”共同创办人周峰锁。周先生，您好。
您好。
在北京通过视频连线加入我们访谈的是中国知名人权活动人士、萨哈罗夫人权奖得主胡佳。胡先生，您好。
主持人好，观众朋友们好，封锁兄好。
我们欢迎两位，我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时也欢迎观众、听众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加我们节目讨论。您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。中共总书记习近平最近呢，再次强调了中共一向主张的人权观，人民幸福生活是最大的人权，国家的生存权、发展权是中国首要的基本人权。我来请教加州的周峰锁先生，您怎么看习近平的这个说法？您如何评价中共倡导的这个人权观呢？
我想这个不值一提，中共人权怎么说，这个不是他能够决定的。人权这个概念在近代为什么提出来，他就是强调的是个人独立于他的种族、国家、政体所应该有的政治社会上的这种权利。那中共所说的跟这个正好是背道而驰，中共所做的也正好展示了一个没有人权的国家人民所面对的一切。所以我今天这个头剃的光头，就是这也是对中共过去一年各种倒行逆施的这种抗议，就是它是无法无天，人民是无语无权，是这样一个状况。
好的，那么中共的人权观呢，着眼点我们刚才说到，显然呢是放在国家整体，也就是说个人的权利必须要服从这个国家整体的利益。那么我来请教北京的胡佳先生，您觉得这种观念符合现代的人权观念吗？
现代人权观念呢，国家存在的意义就是保障公民个体和群体的安全与幸福。那这一切的起点，实际上公民个体的生命权、健康权、人身自由权、言论自由权、结社自由权、信仰自由权，还有财产权、就业权。再往后呢，是包括少数民族权利、妇女权利、儿童权利、残疾人权利啊，包括囚犯的权利、难民权利，这样和劳工权利这些等等。这样，那么如果说按照中共的他现在的表述，如果那些权利受到尊重的话，就不符合国家的利益，就好像就是说这个国家就不能够发展和生存的话，那么它是跟整个的就是普世价值中的就世界人权宣言和公民权利与政治权利国际公约以及经济社会文化权利公约中所描述的那些权利相背道而驰的。 那其实就说他的这个政体从逻辑上就是完全站不住脚的，他给公民灌输的这些，就是说你其实来讲的话，他要让你牺牲个人的权利，只有做公蚁，做这个奴隶的这种自由，去为他，为共产党的他的国家利益，他的这个生存和发展都是基于他个体，就是说共产党在中国社会中去垄断，所长期垄断所有的经济与这个政治利益，他的各个家族瓜分这个国家整体的这样的财富的，他所有所有的这些东西的话都是为了那种权利存在的，他的国家利益的是和那个就是相挂钩的，那么当然要牺牲所有公民，无论是你个体还是那些少数的群体的这个权利。嗯，
那么本着中共这种人权观来处理人权问题呢，中共的人权记录我们看到呢才屡屡受到国内民众的抗议，并且呢在国际社会呢屡屡受到诟病。北京709人权律师家属李文祖等人日前在北京剃发明志，引起了国内外的关注。我们看到刚才周峰锁先生您也剃发了，那么请教周先生，您怎么看这一事件？为了社会稳定，个人就必须牺牲他们自己的权利吗？周先生，
这个当然不是为了社会的稳定啊，刚才是胡佳还是讲得很好了，他是腐败，这个维护他的是这个少数人掌权者的特权啊，他欺压的是正好正是需要保护的那些人，这是他所有这些话的一个根本。那么过去中共的所作所为都表现了这一点，正是这样，他是被作为一个人权侵害的一个样本。啊，为什么我们今天强调人权？你像当初89年的时候，人权并不是一个主要的一个口号，那时候大家更看重的是体制层面，很少从个人权利层面来发言。那这么多年以后，我想这是一个很大的一个进展，就是大家意识到个人权利对于国家进步的一个重要性。那么我们现在你刚才提到709律师，他们作为一个群体，维权律师群体本身就是为了维护中国公民的基本权利，而他们所做的这些呢，基本上还是在中共现有的框架之下，按照中共的法律来做的，就这些都为中共所不容，那才有像王全璋这样3年半杳无音讯啊，妻子他们没有任何办法，李文祖他们啊，这样的这种举动。所以一方面就是这个政府暴行逆施，另外一方面就是民间用尽各种办法这种抗争，那这是中国现在一个人权的状况。
那么周先生，您刚才呢我们讨论这个709律师这个家属们剃发明志这件事，我们看到您也剃发了，那据报道呢说这个海外有许多民权人士呢都仿照这种方式来进行抗议，那您给我们讲一下您这个剃发明志为什么要剃发，明志明什么？
这当然是一种无奈的抗议了。对于我来讲呢，我也是想到今天要上你们的节目，还有等会儿要上明镜的节目，那过去这一年呢，就是中共的这个作为的确就是无法无天，我想这是一种很好的抗议这种方式。当然这个无法无天这种说法呢在中国也很常见，其实剃光头抗议这种在89年好像也有过，好像没有被很多的人注意，所以现在我很自然的就响应。当然对于王全璋这样现在的这种个案，这是我们真的是感到非常无奈，每天我们都想着怎么样能为他们做更多，家属们能够做出这样的这种牺牲啊，这样持久努力，而且有这样的这种创新的想法，我真的是非常感动啊！我看到就是眼泪都要下来。这当然在现在这种情况下，这种中共控制了所有的国家权力，我们不可能像以前那样 就是跟他去肉体搏斗的这种情况下，那么这种民间的反抗往往是需要有一种像近似行为艺术的一种方式。我想709家属在这方面的作为的确是可歌可泣，也很有创意。我也真的是希望全球各地的人都能够响应他们。
那么709，刚才这个周先生提到这个709人权律师抓捕案呢，已经过去2年了，现在还没有完全结案。我来请教北京胡先生啊，您如何看待他们被控的涉嫌煽动颠覆国家政权罪呢？这个罪名？
首先说709案件呢，它是带有习近平这个统治时期特色的，它跟胡锦涛统治时期确实是以煽动颠覆国家政权为主，一年抓一个。比如说高志胜律师，我刘晓波这样。但是习近平统治时期，你所说的709案件，他们不是煽颠罪，他们都是颠覆国家政权罪。颠覆国家政权罪，他不用你就是说发100多篇文章，或者是说就起草08宪章这样，他更加短平快、稳准狠。就像胡石根先生这样，他只要在七位烧那里当着十几个人讲一讲他对未来中国社会变革的展望。那么你就已经成为叫这个罪名叫什么？组织、策划、实施颠覆国家政权、推翻社会主义制度的行为，这个是他的法律的条文。那么就是胡锡根先生做了这么简单的一件事，当然也包括周世峰律师啊，他们好多人都是所谓就是一个群体案件。而这个王全章律师他做的是什么？他是跟海外对接，然后呢给中国的这些维权律师找来资源，给那些良心犯的家属找来资源，以打就是说打在这些资源非常有限的情况下去打那些人权官司，然后人权的案件。其实这个是非常符合人道以及人权的行为，但这个也成为了所谓颠覆国家政权。那你可以想见，他们就是如果说这样是维护公义和社会公正的行为都变成颠覆他们的行为的话，那么就只能证明他们是不公正的，他们本身存在的他们本身存在的就是一个对整个社会的权力的剥夺和压迫。
嗯，刚才几位听众观众们这个坐下的这个评论，首先加州的周先生。
我想观众基本上评论的都非常到位了，就是中共这个虐剧是全世界都知道有目共睹的。那么现在就是我们的确作为民间社会面临的问题，就是怎么样推动抗争。那现在我们最大的一个挑战就是中共的这种恶行啊，好像可以不断的突破底线，那国际社会到最后都有一些麻木，就觉得好像一个就是中共做任何事情大家都不奇怪了，那这当然是很可怕的事情。还有一个就是觉得好像做什么都没有用，那这个也是要不得的，这正是我们需要改变的地方。那为什么像709律师这样的这种持久有创意团结的这种抗争非常值得支持，就在这里，就是在中共现有的这种情况下，还能够有组织、长期、持续的坚持，在看不到任何希望，就是你不断的推墙，这3年对709律师这种打击到现在3年半了，这种力量，我觉得这是非常需要的，这是我们需要推动的地方。
嗯，
那刚才我还要再讲一下，刚才有一位朋友讲到认为美国的民主党和共产党等等好像一样，我想这个大概是被洗脑的或者是被误导的一种结果。
嗯，
那美国的这种讨论等等，它在很多年前已经根本解决这些问题，那现在美国民主被很多人怀疑，甚至共产党也在反复讲美国的衰落等等，我想这一点和中国的这个根本没有进入一个文明社会，就整个社会处在一种野蛮状态，还是不可同日而语我想这个夏虫不可以语冰等等，这些可以用在这个上面，这是完全不同层次的问题，是绝对不可以放在同一个语境下谈的。
好的，那么胡佳先生您有什么补充？
啊，就是中共确实要见证70周年了，但是我们把这个延长一点，从100年的这个时间段来看的话，在全世界范围内，在中国历史上，有多少就是时期是可以一下子饿死4000多万人？有多少时期就像文革那样，也有上千万的人非正常死亡？有多少时期是可以把上亿的婴儿扼杀在那个母腹之中？这些生存权和发展权特别典型的案例，到底谁是那些罪魁祸首？这恰恰是中共自己啊，就是他标榜的所谓生存权、发展权的侵害者，只有他，没有别人。
好的，我们来看下一个案例啊。不久前呢，中国著名的摄影家卢广，他在新疆失踪了。据报道呢，他还持有美国绿卡。那么有消息说呢，他被新疆国保拘禁多天，但是家属却没有收到任何讯息。首先，我来请教加州周先生啊，您注意到这个人权个案了吗？
啊，对，我是最早注意到这个，在推特上呢，我也是最早把卢广的妻子翻译成，把他的推文翻译成英文啊，从而引起注意的。那么卢广的事情其实我以前也不了解，那我看到他妻子的介绍以后，我做了一些调查，发现这是一个非常可敬的人，就是在中国社会现在这种歌舞升平，中共让人民娱乐至死，充满了低俗俗艳这种艺术情况下，有这么一个真正的关注就是民间疾苦啊，他传统的来说，他的镜头拍的是一个真实的中国，非常震撼的那么多镜头，他也在国际社会得到很多广泛的认同，是非常不容易的。所以啊，我很早我就开始了解这些情况，也知道他们在他们原来住在纽约，甚至他妻子都想着要回国去救他丈夫啊等等。那么现在他这种案子，当然我想有一个细节，就是说他和现在的这个新疆中共在新疆的头目陈全国好像有一些个人的纠纷，这个也是源于并非他们个人，而是因为他拍艾滋病的这个实况，然后被全国记恨，也许有这样的一个过去，那很多人关注这一点，我想这也许是一个原因了。当然中共为什么在中共下这些层出不穷，就是我们其实并不知道，中共也从来不会说明确的说这个是怎么样的，甚至抓了人以后罪名也是经常改的。但是现在一个根本的问题就是，它让全世界呢再次关注新疆的这个情况啊，这是另外一个角度，就是新疆的这种人权侵害啊，它这种对于维族为主的这个上百万的民众把他们关起来，这样的这种情况再次关注。那么卢广是不是去那里拍到这些情况，或者拍到这些镜头？我想大家可能很多人关注这新闻，当然到现在我们都不知道了。那么这另外一个层面就是反映新疆的这个人权问题，它不光是维吾尔族人受到迫害。那么我们知道的，那像卢广对吧，他受到这样的对。那么我们知道政治犯中间就是像张海波这样的他们都是被判非常重的刑。那这些都出现在新疆，还有像高志胜律师以前在新疆，那还有像伊利哈木在新疆，他们就是在新疆的这种统治的打击的这个残酷程度，的确是远远超过了中国其他地方。那很多人觉得新疆好像很偏远等等，这是一个个案。而新疆的另外一个启示就是，新疆的这些一切，它不是说慢慢的会作为一个特例，而它正在变成中国逐步新疆化。
嗯，
这也是一个很重要的一个，就是所有人不能回避的一个问题，哪怕就是内地这些。你比方说新疆所做的很多事情，像手机被抽查、DNA 等等，这很多断网这些，那么将来可以想象，就是大规模集中营这些。那中共如果觉得这是他维护统治的办法，他会毫不手软的在全国推广的。这是我们的确 为什么要特别关注这个问题，就是所以卢广这个个人他也很有意思，就是他以前关注社会问题，那么这一次他的被捕也让全世界都再次关注啊，从另外一个角度关注新疆的这种人权迫害。
嗯，那我来继续请教胡先生啊，卢广在新疆被拘，那么外界猜测呢，一定与新疆目前的敏感局势以及新疆当局推行的这个集中营维稳这种措施有关。那胡先生，您有这方面的什么消息可以提供吗？
首先，卢广是我的好朋友，在2002年的时候，我们都是到艾滋病村，河南省上蔡县的后阳村呐、十里铺村呐、这个文楼村呐、去拍摄的那些东西。当然，他比我们强的一点是，他是专业的摄影师，他的镜头永远有比我们强大的多的这种冲击力，它反映了中国很多的现实问题。那现在来讲，就我对卢广个人的了解，他是对于社会底层人的疾苦以及这个国家发生的各种人权侵害有着高度的敏锐，而且呢，他愿意用一种就他自己的智慧冒着风险去做这些记录，因为现在案情并不公开。另外呢，卢广到那里去是受了当地的摄影方面的朋友的邀请，所以基于保护他们的这个原因，我不能够在这里就是说去肯定的说卢广去那里拍摄就是为了拍那个集中营。但是就我自己和卢广之间这么多年的交往，我相信他是带着他的道义使命去的，他到那里绝对不会说是空空的去拍拍魔鬼城啊、喀纳斯啊这些风景啊这样的。那么现在当局把他扣押，然后这个罪名好像是说为境外组织刺探国家机密这样。那么我们就很奇怪了，当年我们在艾滋病村的时候也是有当地的官员跟我们说艾滋病疫情是国家机密，绝对不许把这个国家的阴暗面告诉外界。那现在来讲，他如果是这样的罪名，我相信当局一定是找到了什么样的所谓的实锤或者是证据，是卢广，这也恰恰从侧面证明卢广干了他一直以来在心中那些道义去支持他做的那些事情。
那么谈到新疆问题，中国官方媒体这样回应西方国家的指责，他提醒人们啊，不要忘记新疆不仅有维族人，还有汉人，指全新疆的这个维族暴恐事件呢，给全新疆人民带来灾难。我来请教周先生，这种说法可以证明集中营维稳的正当或者正义性吗？
当然没有了。我想这个维稳的说法跟天安门他们说天安门要杀人为了维持稳定，这个原则是一样的。那在六四的时候，他们学生已经撤离天安门广场，他还用坦克追杀，最后还把这变成维稳的一部分。那么这个政权呢，他用各种谎言来维修饰他的这种罪恶，这是很常见的。我想对于绝大多数人，这是当然，他是为什么这么做，我想很多人肯定想当然的接受了啊，就是觉得好像我们为了所谓的稳定可以不惜一切代价。但是绝大多数人没有意识到的就是说，不是说中共可以不惜，而是这个代价是什么，这个代价往往就是我们自己，这是根本。就是在这个中共的这种情况下，所有的人都会是代价啊，这是这个事情的根本啊。所有的这种稳定，没有一个人最后是安全的。
今天我们时事大家谈讨论呢，到这里就结束了。时间关系，我们不能一一播出网友做出的所有评论，并回答网友朋友们的所有问题。感谢周峰锁和胡佳两位先生参加我们的节目。时事大家谈呢是一个自由的论坛，我们的嘉宾、听众、观众发表的都是他们个人观点，不代表美国之音。明晚时事大家谈节目呢，我们关注热点话题：信宗教还是信共产党？2018年习近平的信仰争夺战，欢迎收听收看。同时呢，也请关注我们的美国观察节目。好，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。